You can stew on that a little bit, amen? We'll bring it up again next year. My prayer for you is that God blesses you abundantly. Man, that you can become a giver. I could go down this road, all this service, but I've got something the Lord wants me to say. But God wants to bless you. He wants you to be a giver, an abundance giver, amen? Be giver. Sometimes we can wear, I'll talk about it a little bit, sometimes we can wear these cloaks of self-righteousness, of sacrifice. Oh, I've sacrificed, you know, all this to maybe to live in poverty or whatever, but I don't think it we got to be careful. We can do some of this sacrifice. All our righteousness, by the way, is as filthy rags. And even Ben was talking about, he's born and raised Ben, Pastor Ben Diaz, some of you know him. Talking because he was born and raised in Mexico. And even when he went to the mission field, and even when he was in the mission field, he had a side job, a side business, a side hustle, he would call it. And it blessed him, and he was able to take care of his needs and be a blessing to others. So he wasn't just taking from others or whatever, but God was speaking to his heart about being a blessing to others, even while he was on the business or on the mission field, having a business, a little side business that God blessed him. And where did it start? By believing that God wanted to bless him. It's a mindset. It's a scriptural mindset. And sometimes we can have these certain cloaks of self-righteousness, our own things that we sacrifice. Like I said, our sacrifices, we can wear those of robes, like robes of righteousness. Only Jesus can be our righteousness, by the way. And no, one of these days, I don't think it's going to be today, but we're going to talk about sacrifices as far as scriptures in the Bible, about us being priests. But as I began again to prepare this morning, the Lord just wanted me to sit right here as far as his promises. So last week was the significance of a promise, and today is going to be the significance of a promise part two. So the Lord changed this in my heart this morning. Do you love him this morning? Let me just pray this. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence here. Thank you that you anoint your word. Thank you for ears to hear. Amen. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing in our families. I declare that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the victory. The promises of God are yes and amen. Thank you, Father God, for speaking to our hearts. You know the need of every individual here, starting with me from the front row to the back. And so we thank you, Lord, for illuminating the word of God this morning to become revelation and truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I had read a section of scripture last week from Jeremiah 33. If you were here, you remember that. I just want to read just a scripture that, just a little part of it as I continue. Jeremiah 33:22 says, as the heavenly lights cannot be counted. So the stars, right? The planets cannot be counted, and the sand of the sea cannot be measured. So I will multiply the descendants of my servant David and the Levites who serve me. And so we're talking about that time. Obviously now we know that you and I, the different scriptures are brought out last week, that you and I are a kingdom of kings and queens and priests. Amen. And so I probably won't get to the kingdom or talking about the priest today as far as a new covenant believer, but you are a priest, by the way. You may not think about that. You may never even, it may never cross your mind, or maybe once in a while you'll hear about it from a message. But the truth of the matter is, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a priest. And the more you maybe learn about that, the more the Lord shows you what that means. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? But also that we're a kingdom of kings and queens, and the Lord meaning authority. God has given us authority in many areas upon this earth. Did you know that? Amen? And so it says the line of David would make it very numerous. Well, you could only have one king, right? And we talked about being children. We'll read some of those scriptures again, being children of Abraham. Amen? Being a joint heirs with Jesus Christ, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, amen? And so I am a child of God because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He gave me authority. He showed us when he walked on this earth what it means to exercise authority as a man or woman of God. Now, a lot of people may not believe that today, and what you don't know or what you don't believe can hurt you, by the way. We say sometimes that ignorance is bliss, but let me tell you, in the kingdom of God, ignorance is not bliss. It can destroy your life. And so understanding these things, the promises and the authority that God has given his children while we walk on this earth. Amen. Amen and amen. Let me just start with Ephesians. I'm going to go to Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. Just as he chose us, say us. Remember I said in Chino the plural was usins. So just as he has chose usins. I want people, never mind. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters. Right? We're talking about, just want to read that scripture again, as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, with which he favored us in the beloved. So we are part of the beloved. We are children of God, amen, sons and daughters. And because of that, because we've been adopted, amen, you were born a natural birth, but we've talked about it before, it's a bummer. You were born destined in this world. You were born destined in yourself to be separated from God for eternity. But through Jesus Christ, being born again of the Spirit, new DNA spiritually, man, we've now become destined to spend eternity with him. Amen? We talked about it. Nobody in your own righteousness, your own strength, your own ability, how much you do know or don't know, that doesn't matter. When you are born in this world of the flesh, amen, you are destined for no hope. But when you give your life to Jesus Christ, amen, born again, born of the Spirit, then you are destined to spend eternity with him. Matter of fact, that's one of the promises that we'll talk about. And all of that happened being adopted. See, what did Jesus say in John 3? He says, you must be born of the water. We're all born of the water. He came through a womb, amen. Everybody here came through a womb. And it says, and you must be born of the Spirit. You must be born again. He gives you a brand new spirit. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You become brand new in Jesus Christ. That's good news. Amen. One day he's realizing, and then talking about the promise of Jesus, him showing up on earth, born of a virgin. Amen. That's a promise that was fulfilled. Him dying on the cross for you and I, and then being raised from the dead at the right hand of the Father. All of these things being predicted, prophesied in the Old Testament. Those things have been fulfilled. Amen. Those are promises fulfilled. And then today, talking about how many more promises while you and I are on the earth does God want to fulfill. Amen. I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures out loud real quick. Talk just a reminder of Revelation 1:6 says, and he has made us kings and priests. There's that word us again. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, heirs also. Amen. Heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Have you noticed since you've been walking with the Lord, regardless of how long or how short of a time, you're going to experience persecution. You're going to experience adversary. Amen. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Amen. But we have an enemy that's going to come against you. That's persecution. Trying to come against your mind. Trying to come against your family. Does anybody realize that? Those are the persecutions that we face, persecutions in society, in government, amen, right now. In every aspect of this country right now, we are starting to experience persecution. But that doesn't mean that we don't have authority. You think of that persecution, it says, if indeed we suffer with him. Jesus already suffered and died, didn't he? So what does that mean that if we suffer with him? I think about when Paul, I think is it is it's in Acts 10 or 11. So he sees a bright light, and he's knocked off his horse. And Jesus, what's the first thing Jesus said to him? Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me? He's talking about the body. See, God, Jesus, even though he's not here in the flesh, he's here through the Holy Spirit, he still feels the persecution against the church. He still feels those things that would come against you and persecute you. And then what did Paul say? He says, who are you? Paul says, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus. And again, he says it again, whom you are persecuting. See, Jesus isn't suffering anymore in his flesh. Jesus isn't being persecuted in his flesh anymore. But he feels those things. He's still undergoing those things as he feels everything that comes against us. He's there, by the way. He sees what comes against you. Oh, how he loves you. He's not a disinterested third party. It says, figure it out. No, he feels your pain. He knows what the enemy's trying to do when he comes against you. Amen? He knows what's happening upon this earth and even in this country. The pain of people turning against. He feels the pain of people that reject him. He's not willing that any should perish. He wishes that all would come to know him, that they would spend eternity with him. Man, I can't even imagine the pain still that is in God's heart for people. Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And so I say we have been given authority. We'll talk about what that means. We have authority because we are heirs by the Holy Spirit, and I talked about that. Kings. Let me just say, you got to say authority over what, right? Because sometimes you'll hear people say all kinds of different strange things, maybe. But this is what I realize is our authority, and we'll get into this, is based upon the promises. Based upon the promises. I know we've talked about this like three, you know, different angles, but the Lord says, keep preaching this. Keep declaring this. Keep saying this about his promises. About how we walk in these promises, how we obtain the promises of God, how we teach others to obtain the promises. Amen? And so Galatians 3, I'm going to go to Galatians 3, 6, and 7. Galatians 3, 6, and 7. And it says here, just as Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness, therefore recognize that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. So by faith, you and I are talking about promises, number one. We are sons and daughters of Abraham by faith. Amen? You could be uncircumcised and you're still saved by faith. You maybe have a certain strict diet or not. You are still saved by faith. It's only by faith. Your salvation is by faith. Galatians 3:14, we're talking about these promises. Galatians 3:14 says, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. So the first thing when you come to Jesus Christ is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It says, why? Because it's a promise. So there could be days where things are rough. Everybody ever had that? And your emotions could be swirling. Does that mean you don't have the Holy Spirit? No, you still have the Holy Spirit in you. It's just you've got your, maybe at the time, maybe your emotions are in control, right? But that you believe, you know by a promise that his Holy Spirit lives in you. Regardless of how you feel, regardless of your struggles, remember this, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ by faith, and you know he's the only way, the only truth, and the only life, his Holy Spirit dwells in you. And you can take that to the bank because it's a promise. So when the devil says, no, you don't have the Spirit of God, excuse me, I've got a promise that says that his Spirit lives in me. Go bother somebody else. Take a hike. Amen. Amen. So how do we know that the Spirit of God lives in us? When there's some times where it doesn't seem like he's there, when you're saying, where are you, Lord? I don't hear your voice. I feel alone. But you know by promise, by faith, that His Spirit is in you, and you just keep doing what you're doing, and you will eventually, in that situation, hear His voice. See, some of those things are to teach us so we don't rely on our emotions. Amen? We're relying on the promises of God that are yes and amen. If you don't have His Spirit, that means you're not born again, and that means it can change this morning. We can lead you into a personal relationship with Jesus, who loves you, who gave His life for you, who wants to touch you. He wants to touch you and change you. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to break off depression off of your life. He doesn't want you trying to get through this world in your own ability and strength and intellect. He wants you to trust His Spirit. He wants you to trust His love for you. You can do that today, and it's by faith, amen? It's by faith that we trust. So this first thing is, we have a promise that the Spirit of God, if you know Him, lives in you. Amen. You know, the significance of a promise will only be realized by seeing it first. There could be many promises, amen? But if we're not aware of them, if we're not giving them any attention, if they don't show up on our radar, then they're not going to apply to us. Can does that make sense? Amen. Someone upon their death could have promised me $1 million. But if I don't know anything about it, if I don't know about that covenant of promise, if I don't know it or nobody makes me aware of it, that $1 million, as an example, would do me how much good? Zero. See, you got to believe that covenant, that promise, and attain that, right? Saying, that's mine. Amen? So the significance of a promise will only be realized by seeing it first. Amen? Authority in the kingdom of God will only be exercised by faith. By faith. I love these. You've read this before, but would you read it with fresh eyes with me this morning? Would you listen to it with fresh ears this morning? Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Many of us know the Hall of Faith chapter of all the saints of old and what they accomplished. And now that right at the beginning, it's now faith is the certainty of things hoped for, proof of things not seen. For by it, the people of old gained approval. You know, you understand that faith in what? Faith in things hoped for. So it says, now faith is the certainty of things hoped for. What do we hope for? These things that the Lord was showing me today is things that we're hoping for are things that we believe that are promised to us. We don't just hope for, if you're just hoping for whatever, that's not hope. Hope is for specific things. Faith of things that God has promised you in the word that you put your hope for, and you begin to see it and declare it before it ever happens. Because hope is anchored. Hope is just faith that's been anchored, and it continues on. Faith of something God wants to do in your life where He's told you about, or where He's leading and guiding you, and He spoke to you. Hope is just, I'm anchored. That faith is just long-term faith, or hope being long-term faith. I'm anchored in this. I've got a hope for this. I'm going to continue in this. I'm not going to let go of my anchor and believe in this. So my thing is when we are hoping for things, what are you hoping for? What are you hoping for? Well, that's the thing. What has God spoke to your heart about? Now, faith is the things hoped for. Now, faith is certainty of promises hoped for. A proof of things not seen, meaning this, God said it, it's in the word, He spoke to my heart, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. And you may say, well, no, that's not name it, that's name it and claim it. Well, you can call whatever you want, it's in the word of God. Paul even said, we believe, therefore we speak. You know, certain things of the word of faith movement, people want to just throw the whole thing out, please don't. We'll see nonsense on TV as people who collect money that are snake oil salesmen. So we'll just think that every time somebody mentions money, that it's tainted or it's not a right motive. That's not true. Every time we see somebody who might be a phony who's praying for the sick, we start thinking, well, that doesn't really work. It's all phony. No, they might be a phony. They might be a wolf in sheep's clothing, but it does not mean that God does not still heal people. Amen? The enemy will always have a fraud. He'll always have a sheep in wolf's clothing. And what it's meant to do is to remove you from the promises of God, and you're just looking at the results of somebody else instead of looking at the promises that are in the Word of God. Amen? Regardless of what buffoonery is going on around us. Amen. Or as Pastor Lee used to say here, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen. Now, faith is the certainty of promises hoped for. That's all the proof I need. I see it already because the promises of God are yes and amen. That's what faith is. That's these promises that God will give you in things of your life. Did you know that? Amen. There's a few of them. Let me just mention this. Number one is promises that we lay hold of while here on earth. Okay? Promises that we lay hold of while here on earth. So the Holy Spirit is the part of our inheritance we receive now, plus many, many more promises and benefits. Can I say many more? If you go down a little further, we don't have time, or we could read the whole chapter, Hebrews 11. Let's read it, Hebrews 11, 33. Let's talk about some examples. By faith, talking about some of these people, these Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Gideon and so forth, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness. Let me stop right there. I think of an act of righteousness of Abraham. Remember when God said, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac. Wow. But see, God had given him a promise that he would have an heir. He would have a son. And so he knew this. He said, even if I sacrifice and kill him, God will raise him from the dead because he gave me a promise that I would have an heir. And that heir will become as numerous as the stars of the sky. It become as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And that part of that numerous is you and I this morning, by the way. You are part of the numerous. You are part of the number of the stars in the sky that cannot be counted. You are part of all the sand that you'll grab a handful of sand and good luck counting that, let alone a whole beach of sand. You can't count it. And so an act of righteousness based upon a promise that I will have an heir. You promised me that. I don't care if I sacrifice him right now. You would raise him up. And we know God provided a ram. Amen. So who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness. Here we go. Obtained promises. Promises. The promises that God will put in your life. As I begin to speak, here's what the Lord keeps putting on me. What promises are you believing for? Many things, see, religion doesn't give you any promises because religion or legalism is just, you're just trying to behave. you're just trying to keep your own life in line. I mean, that's a full-time job. Did you know that? That'll be a full-time job for your spouse. Or you could do it for, you could spend a full-time job trying to do that for your children or even your adult children. But when you realize as we move on the promises of God, amen, we go on from trying to just maintain lives, everything, and start stretching and believing for what God's going to do miraculously in your life and in your family and in your community. It's because of the promises of God are yes and amen. So it says they obtain promises. So what were some of these promises? They shut the mouths of lions. Quench the power of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. From here, this is a great one. From weakness, we're made strong. You know, when God begins to speak things in your life that you can say, Lord, this, you're speaking to my heart about this promise, and now I'm going to put my faith in that promise. you'll go from being, you might be very weak. You may say, God, it could be healing. It could be finances. You could say, Lord, I'm very weak in that area. I've tried this, I've tried that before. But as you put your trust and faith in the promises of God, and you declare them, you stand on them, you don't start talking anti-faith, doubt, man, that weakness in your life will begin to grow strong. And then once that promises is answered and God shows himself faithful, that area that was weakness in your life is now a strength. See, God loves taking the weak things of this world who can't accomplish things in their own strength, their own ability, and they put their trust in the promises of God and become strong. And who gets the glory? Amen and amen. Amen. From weakness we're made strong, became mighty in war. Did you hear that? Mighty in war. Did you know you may not be mighty in war this morning? You may be experiencing, it seems like, failure after failure after failure. I've come to realize, I admit, like many of you, if you're willing to admit it, you might be there now, where there's been a time where you were in failure after failure after failure. And when you start putting your trust in his righteousness and his strength and his ability that lives in you, those areas that used to make you weak will make you become a man or a woman of war. You'll stand up in those areas and say, I used to fail in that area. God has set me free. I didn't give up, and his righteousness, his grace, amen, set me free and healed me of that hurt, set me free from that bondage. And now that area that used to be such weakness is now a strength, and you are now a mighty man or woman of war in that area. But notice, it started in weakness. God's okay with your weakness. There might be some areas right now you're just saying, Lord, I'm weak. The only way that you're going to get strong is to begin to put your faith and trust in the promises. You've got to have something to anchor to. You just can't throw an anchor out in the clear blue sky. It won't grab anything, amen? But as you drop your anchor, it'll grab a hold of a promise. And then it's going to be secured in hope. And you know God spoke to you, and you keep declaring it. Keep watch over it. Keep your mouth right there. Keep trusting it. Him, he's going to be, we'll have some examples. He's going to bring it about. So we're talking about those promises. Weakness was made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Well, for you and I now, that's the devil. The devil in areas of a life saying, nope, no more. That enemy has been put to flight. He doesn't want to be around you anymore in that area because he got a whooping. He'll go somewhere else where he can win the battle. Amen? He's gotten a whooping. And then we get the promise that we lay hold while on earth. And then, you know, the promises we believe yet to come. Because also in this scriptures of Hebrews 11, going down to verses 39 and 40, it says this. And all these having gained approval through faith, it says they did not receive what was promised, because God has provided something better for us. So it's including us, better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. You know, some people, some prophets, they could see the Christ coming, but they didn't know when. They didn't even know really what it meant. Could you imagine writing prophetically, and a virgin shall give birth? You're thinking, wow, what does that even mean? And so there's promises. We know right now, right, that he is coming again. Is that talking about promises, how do you know he's coming again? You know how we know? Because you have decided to believe a promise. That's it. The only proof that we see in the Bible, we see everything is happening in the world. But let's be honest, the only proof you and I have that Jesus is coming again is that we've anchored our soul to a promise that we will be with him forever. If you believe that promise, we can believe that promise, but there's so many promises in this life, I wonder if we really believe them, if we anchor our soul to them. See, it's easy. It requires no faith, no stretching, no accountability to get saved and then just hang on and say, okay, I believe this promise. No, God wants so much more for you. He's faithful. Your faith, man, faith is the most powerful thing you can have in your walk. Amen. When you're not feeling the goosebumps of the Holy Spirit, I love those. We had them at the conference. Man. But this morning, it was by faith. Wasn't feeling those same goosebumps. But I believe in the promises that he'll be with me even if I speak up here, regardless of what's going on or how I feel. I know that his word is anointed. I know that his word is sharper than a two-edged sword. I know that when I'm speaking, because my heart's right with him here, that when I speak that it's going to, if a person's heart, it says it divides even between the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Amen. The word of God. So I even know as I speak here that God is doing what he wants to do as he reveals about his promises for your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you still out there?
Yeah.
So we have promises that are yet to come. And verse 39 says, all of these things, having gained approval through faith, did not receive what was promised, because God has provided something better for us. So we know we're going to get a new resurrected body. This is going to change, right? And the promise of spending eternity with the Father and the Son, amen, is a promise that is still yet to be fulfilled. But you believe it, right? The struggles, the heartaches, the rejections, the temptations, that hammer against your soul, one day is all going to disappear. Did you know that? Amen. Until you draw your last breath, it's not all going to be perfect. We have battles. We have promises that hopefully you're still holding on to. And let me tell you, some of those promises may not come about until you're gone. I love to tell the story. I tell it all the time, but my friend, his name was Mo. And Mo was a multimillionaire. And his mother was born again, and he was raised in Sunday school. But when he got older, he said, Mom, I don't need that. It's foolishness. And so Mo's mom passed away after praying for him for her whole life. And not long after Mo's mom passed away, Mo lost all his money. See, Mo had been putting his trust in the money. And then through those circumstances, Mo gave his life to Jesus Christ. And when I say he gave his life to Jesus Christ, man, he was committed to Christ. God blessed him, restored him. He became a part of his church. And he loved to give that testimony whenever he could about the promise. You may not see, his mom didn't see the promises of God when she was alive, but it certainly came about. So even the promises that you're trusting for, let me just say this, are generational. My kids, my grandkids, and my great-grandkids, I'm determined, are going to walk with the Lord. Why? Because I believe it. He will, amen? He will show his righteousness to the third and the fourth generation. That's a promise. I claim it. And Lord, thank you for that coming about in my family. And so in my heart, it's a done deal. You know, it's just the wonderful things that in the life to come are incredible. 1 Corinthians 6 says we will judge the world, we will judge angels. I don't know what that means, but isn't that amazing? Paul says we will judge the world, we'll judge angels. The things that God has for you and I, amen, in the coming world, when we're with him, is all based upon you and I believing a promise. Do you believe his promises to you? Let me move on here. That one thing, it says, number three, don't focus on the afflictions or you can start doubting the promises. Hear me again. Don't focus on the afflictions or you will doubt the promises. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, he says, for our momentary light affliction. Isn't it funny how he calls it light affliction? This guy's in and out of prison, been beaten, all these things. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So those are future promises, amen? Anything you go through now, is you can't even compare to what's going to be revealed in the coming age. Isn't that amazing? Let me just say that again, because he is coming again. Now, we're here to do the Father's business and walk in his promises, but it's a reminder, he is coming again. So I ask you, do you believe in that promise? Amen. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 11. Let me continue on. Just got a little bit more. This is Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, having cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares about you. Well, there's a promise right there. He cares about you. Your soul, different times, might be going through things, and it'll tell you he doesn't care about you. Well, that's a lie. The promise of God is this. He cares about you. Amen. He cares about you. Then it continues on. It says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Everybody ever experienced that? So resist him firm in your faith. How do you resist him? Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brothers and sisters who are in the world. And I love this. Just when you're talking about when you're going through trials and things coming against you. Hear me out just a few more minutes. It says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever and amen. What is that? What is the promise of God here? Regardless of what you may be going through right now, trust him. Continue to worship him. Continue to come to church. Continue to read the Word of God. Continue, man, to draw near with him, because the promise is that this won't last forever. Matter of fact, you're going to grow stronger. As a matter of fact, you're going to learn to be an overcomer of that situation. It may seem painful, seem hard, but if you'll trust him and not give in to your emotions or the desires of the flesh, God is going to establish you. God is going to break that off of you, and God is going to reveal new things to you, but you got to believe the promises that he'll get you through it, amen? He will get you through it. Once again, promises tell you it doesn't matter how I feel. I'm anchored in his promises, because the promises of God are yes and amen. The promises of God are yes and amen. So God's promises equal blessing. Can you say blessing? You better believe in blessing. If you want to do it on your own, that's self-righteousness. That's pride. Amen. So let's some of these promises. Can I just mention a few? Give me 2.5 more minutes. Salvation from eternal hell. Is that you believe that based upon a promise? How about salvation for healing? Psalms 103 says he will heal you of all your diseases. Is that a promise or not? Isaiah 53. Hey, let me tell you, there's areas of my body that I'm still believing for healing. Psalms 103, it says, forget not his benefits. Well, you could say it this way, forget not his promises. It's healing for your body, healing for your soul, amen? How do I know? Because he promises it. How about children and grandchildren? He loves our offsprings more than we do. Can I say it that way? Looking for promises, it does not matter how it looks. I've learned this. It does not matter how it looks. I'm believing the promises of God that me and my household shall be saved. This is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. Amen? And when they're in darkness, this is how I pray. I say, Lord, let their soul just dry up and wither. May those be such dry bones that they cry to the Lord, out to the Lord. Amen? Sometimes, I'll give an open statement, but can't really qualify it with times. Sometimes enabling is not helping. Sometimes enabling doesn't help. You really need the wisdom of the Lord. Amen. Man, coming, sometimes we all have to come in areas of our lives, we have to come to the end of ourselves. Did you know that? You could have areas in your life that you need to come to the end of yourself and quit trusting yourself and put trust in Him. It's not just for salvation. It could be different areas that we need to grow in the Lord that we just say, Lord, I'm done finally with this. I'm giving this to You. Amen. Lord, reveal Your grace to me, how this is going to work, how I'm going to have victory in this area. Say it again, children and grandchildren. God loves them more than you. Begin to pray for them. Begin to pray this way. Lord, thank You for restoring them. If they don't know You, if they don't know the Lord at all, thank You for saving their soul. If they're backslidden, saying, Lord, thank You for restoring them. Thank You for speaking to them in the night hour. Thank You for speaking to them in the morning hour. Lord, thank You for them being so miserable they can't stand themselves and everybody around them can't stand them. Lord, make it to where where the discipline of the Lord brings them to the end of themselves. Hey, we've talked about it before. We know that there was a guy in the belly of a well that didn't want to go preach. But 3 days in darkness, he changed his mind. 3 days in darkness. Sometimes when you see that darkness, let me just say this, say, Lord, allow that darkness to do its work. Give it to the Lord. When we give it to the Lord, let me tell you, the Lord doesn't want us to carry a burden and a grief. I know with mothers especially, it's hard. But He wants you to give it to Him. He wants you to keep praying, start declaring the promises of God. Sometimes we carry this constant grief, and I'm telling you, it doesn't help because you still have to live life with other children, other family, other friends. Give that burden, learn to give that to Him. Because what happens then when you're with people, all you can talk about is that situation. And that's not healthy. It's not good. There's other people that need to live life with you, that need to see the joy of the Lord in your life still during those difficult situations with kids specifically. Begin to declare the promise of God. Begin to start rebuking Satan in Jesus' name and begin to say, Lord, thank You for what they've got themselves into. Remember the prodigal son? Finally, he says, man, I'm at my wit's end. I'll go back to my father. Lord, we thank You for prodigal sons and daughters coming to the end of their own rope. I don't know if it'll, we don't know how long it'll be, but we continue to believe God's promise. Begin to allow Him to speak to you for promises for your kids. And here's the choice you and I have to make. Are we going to believe it or are we not? Are we going to allow our grief and our emotions to dictate how we're going to live our life in those areas? Are we going to believe in promises and actually have freedom in our life, even in those hurtful situations? It's a true word of the Lord this morning. I'm telling you, it's a true word of the Lord this morning. God wants you to be a financially blessed person and be a liberal giver. These are promises of God. I'm happy to talk with you if you think there. I'm telling you, this cloak of we have to live in poverty, I don't believe it. I believe it's a cloak of self-righteousness. God wants to bless your life. You work really hard to make it happen. Allow Him to bless you and be a liberal giver. Amen? Be a liberal giver. It's okay to walk in blessing. Can I say, I'm going to say, it's okay to walk in blessing. God will teach and show you. The world needs to see people that are blessed by the Lord Jesus. It's more than just handing out a tract. It's more than just giving the gospel. Sometimes it's people at work that need to see your walk, needs to see God's blessing on your life. Amen. Even while Joseph was in prison, they could see God's blessing on his life. God was blessing him even while he was in those prisons, where God was preparing him to reign in Egypt. God's blessing on your life. There's many promises in the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'll never forget when my eyes were open, I was reading Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I was relating more with the curses than I was the blessing. I said, there's something wrong here. Well, it was my legalism. When I came into his grace and his mercy, when I understood it, that I began to come, because it says that he became a curse for us on the cross. I don't walk in any curse. He paid the price. He paid the price. Be willing to allow the Lord to speak to you with his promises about blessing you. Amen. He wants you to be free from torment, depression, sinful bondages to the soul and flesh. Those are promises. Sometimes some of these things can seem like they take a lifetime. Can I just say that? You get born again or stuff, and all of a sudden you give your life to the Lord, and all of a sudden you're saying, I still have some struggles. Well, renewing the mind, the soul. But know this, the promise is you belong to him. And as you continue to walk with him, he'll grow you, and he'll begin to break those sinful fleshly things off of you, and the brand new man that you're inside will begin to come out. It's so slowly, though, right? You know slowly and surely, you know them too. But the promises is, as I belong to him, I am the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And as I continue to walk on those promises and pursue him, things begin to break off my life slowly by his power, by his strength, not by my ability, not even by my effort, but by my trusting him. By my trusting him. Have you ever had things you struggle with, you try to do it in your own strength, and then you get all your ducks in a pond kind of in, and something else squirts off, it goes. That's what I experienced when I was trying to break or come out of bondages in my life, in my own ability. I'd think I'd get all the ducks in a row, and all of a sudden another one would take, something would go happen. You cannot do it on your own. Amen? It's the Spirit of God that lives within you that shows you how to be dead to sin and alive to him. Those are promises. So what I do is I say, thank you for those promises. And then when you really believe in those promises, it gives you rest. It gives you rest when you make mistakes. It gives you rest when you really make mistakes. It gives you rest when you have a bad day, a bad week, a bad month. He's still there. He doesn't turn his back on you. You belong to him. As you continue to believe those promises, amen, in his grace, those things will lose their grip over your flesh and your soul. It'll be him that gets the glory. If we could do it on our own, then why would he come and die? If we could do it under just following rules and regulations, why would Jesus come? No. All the law does is just show you that you can't do it. You can't do it. You're never going to make it. You're never going to be holy like God in your own strength. You're holy only by putting your trust and faith in the finished work of the cross. When you realize that, you'll come in such peace and joy that those things that you're struggling with will lose their power over your life. I'm telling you that. Those are the promises of God that are yes and amen. Amen and amen. He doesn't want it, but just say that he doesn't want anyone to perish. So when we're talking, it says and Peter says, hey, when you have an opportunity, tell those others about the hope that's in you. And so some people are awesome evangelists, right? Other of us are not so good at it. But when I have an opportunity, I can always share the hope of glory in me, the promises of God. You know, if this God wants you rich, I was talking to this guy named George. He was with Pastor Freddie, and he's into evangelism. I thought it was interesting. We're talking about promises. He was talking about because they'll go out and see healings and deliverances and God's power being revealed, you know, doing things. And he says, you know, God spoke to me because he says in the church, we're waiting for God to come in like some rushing wind and do something. Where the truth God showed him, he says, no, he says, I've already done everything I'm going to do. So they just went out and started laying hands. God spoke to them and says, you go out and do the work of the ministry. I've already done everything. I live in you, the power of the Holy Spirit. I've already given authority for you to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So start exercising your authority. So he was saying as Lord showed them, they just went out and started doing that. And God began to heal people. God began to get saved. They began to see miraculous things as God spoke to his heart and said, the church is waiting for me to come in like a rushing wind. When he's waiting for us to get out there and start declaring who he is. Start declaring the promises of God. See, the signs and wonders follow his word, the preaching of the gospel. We live in this poverty mentality, I think, in the church that somehow we don't have everything we need in Christ. I'm telling you, what we need to do is start believing his promises and start walking in them and start exercising those things. And God will show up and do the work. Amen. And so as George started saying that, I said, you know, that's exactly right. We're waiting on something. Here's me say, there's things that God promises in the Word for you, that as you read the Word, as you set your heart on him, he'll begin to show you and said, this is for you. See, if he lives in you, he speaks to you. Here's the thing I've learned. If he lives in you, he's speaking to you, but you don't recognize his voice. Or he's speaking to you and you do hear his voice. But I can assure you that the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through the inner man, through his Holy Spirit, is speaking to you. And it's always speaking about trusting him. And it's always pointing to a promise. You can trust me. You can put your trust and faith in this promise. My prayer, as the worship team comes, is the Lord would begin to show you his promises. Those areas where you've been waiting on him, or maybe it's not connected to God speaking to you about a promise, or if you're just kind of floating out there, not sure, I'm telling you, he wants to anchor you in his promises for your life. He'll never leave you, forsake you. He's given you purposes, abilities, and talents that the enemy's trying to convince you will never come about. With the promises of God, when you trust them, say they will come about. I don't care how young or how old you are. When you start anchoring in those things, eventually you're going to see those promises fulfilled in our life. You love them, saints? Can you stand up with me? A little warm in here, isn't it? A little sleepy. If you're willing, would you put your hands up? If you're willing, say, Lord, thank you for your promises. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you speak to me. So give me ears to hear. Show me the promises for my life that you want me anchored to. I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We bless you. We love you. We praise you. We exalt you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Let me just say this as we're released, that there'll be a few people that hopefully can come up. If you need prayer and anything, would you please come up? We would love to pray with you. But let me just tell you this, though. You can hear that word and illuminate in your soul, and you can just take off with it. If God spoke to you, just take off with it. Allow him to speak to you about his promises. But if you need prayer, please come up. So, Father, we thank you. And then we're having, if you want to go to the youth building, go out the doors and go right to the end. We are going to hold a baptismal. We'd love to see you there. Amen. Other than that, I pray the Lord's blessing upon you. Have a wonderful afternoon and a wonderful Monday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And a thousand generations
and your family, your children, and the children.